You're listening to The Intern Show with Rebecca and Melissa. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Intern Show. My name's Rebecca.
And I'm Melissa.
And we are the Connoisseur Media Long Island interns for this summer. Each week, we are going to be recording and releasing a podcast, and this is week one.
Hi, everyone. My name is Melissa. I am currently a rising senior at Baruch College. I am majoring in marketing management with a new media arts minor. I was born and raised in East Farmingdale, Long Island, and I currently live in Smithtown, but I'm super excited to be at Connoisseur this summer.
And my name is Rebecca. I am a rising senior at Fairfield University in Connecticut. I'm a communication major with a film, television, and media arts minor, as well as a music minor. And I'm also born and raised on Long Island from Centereach in Suffolk County. And I'm also super excited to be here.
So Rebecca and I, we were talking the other day. We were talking about advertising, more specifically Google Analytics.
And it got us thinking about how everyone is convinced that their phones are constantly listening to them.
Yeah. Have you ever been like talking with someone, having a conversation, and later on, like maybe 5-10 minutes later, you're on your phone, you're scrolling, you're on your laptop, and you see an ad for what you were just talking about? Is that crazy?
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Have you seen the people that like test it out? Like I saw a TikTok and it was this girl and she kept taking her boyfriend's phone when he wasn't in the room and saying engagement ring, engagement, wedding over and over so that his phone would get the ads. Honestly, that's genius.
That is genius. Like, if you want it, you want it. Like, he should get the ring for it right now.
I know. And he's probably seeing tons of ads. And he's like, maybe he thinks it's a sign.
Yes.
And it's a sign that she crafted.
We have a lot of Google Home, the Alexa. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think they're listening to you?
So the thing is, they have to be listening at all times. Because when they hear the word Alexa or the name Google, they'll have to hear it. But also, half the time, I'll say Alexa and it doesn't even hear me. It may be listening at all times, but I don't think it's listening well.
Yeah.
The other day, me and Deanna were in the studio with Stevie, and we were talking to him about Stranger Things and the new season and everything like that. Keep in mind, Stevie has never watched the show. We talked to him about it for maybe 5 minutes, and then me and Deanna start recording the show, and he opens up Instagram, and the first ad on his Instagram was for the Stranger Things experience.
No way.
And he was like, my phone's listening to me easily.
Yeah. I'm so sure that like a Google Home, Alexa, whatever, takes that information. It's like uploaded to like a database for sure, where people like will pick out what people are talking about. This way they can curate these ads for everyone so that these companies can make more money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're selling all of our data to everything. Like the thing is, maybe this is, I don't know, a bit naive of me, but I just don't really care. Maybe I should have more of a problem with this, but to me, at least the ads are things I'm talking about, and I feel like I've got nothing to hide. As long as no one's getting, like, my bank information and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Which I hope no one has. We'll see.
I've taken, like, a marketing class or two. I'm a marketing major, so I've learned, like, a thing or two, but, like, there are databases where companies can buy this information.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's how you get Google Analytics.
That's so terrifying.
I know. At least it's not like credit card information, you know, that's like illegal.
Yeah. But I mean, as long as I'm not being hacked and no one's stealing my money or my social security number or whatever, I guess it is what it is.
Has anybody ever like stalked you on Venmo?
I keep all of my transactions
private.
However, I do love going on there when I'm, you know, paying someone and just seeing,
like,
you know,
oh,
these two people went to dinner tonight?
Like, my two best friends, like, went out without me. Like, obviously not happened. Hasn't happened. But, like, if they did, I would know.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
public.
All of my Venmo transactions are private. But one day when I was at work a couple years ago, me and my friends were joking around about people seeing your Venmos and whatever. I made a public payment to my friend Kaylee. And I just paid her, like, a penny. But you can't see the amount.
Yeah.
I wrote Cancun flights with, like, a palm tree emoji. And we were just, like, cracking up because people probably thought we were, like, planning a trip to Cancun. Mm-hmm. But really, we were just...
No, and then you just wait until a second, like, oh, somebody asked you, like, you're going to Cancun? Like, you're stalking my Venmo?
So, yeah, it's Cancun flights with, like, the laughing emoji and the plane emoji. And it's really just a penny, but we're, like, people are going to think
I also think there's,
doing all this cool stuff.
there's like a feature on Venmo where you can like comment, right?
Oh yeah, you can comment on people's transactions.
I'm like, whose idea was it to add that? It's like a money exchanging social media.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's kind of genius. I don't know why it's necessary to see other people's transactions.
Yeah.
But just the act of being able to pay someone virtually is really nice.
Yeah, it's
because
cool.
I don't always have cash on me. And I rarely have cash in the amount that I need to pay someone, so.
But it's just like how someone, like, they don't have to like find you and then friend you, but they can just have your contact.
Oh yeah.
And see all your information. Like, same thing with like TikTok, for example.
Mm-hmm.
With the contacts.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want my account to be super public or anything. I don't want, if I made a TikTok, for example, and let's say I didn't want my boss to see that if he has TikToks, but I also have his contact, you know, I disabled the contacts.
That's so smart. I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah.
I know there's been a lot of scandals about, you know, Venmo maybe being sus, Venmo being hacked. However, I think for our generation, it's been very helpful because we're the generation of like, can you split the check at the restaurant?
Exactly.
Or you buy this and I'll Venmo you. And, you know, it just, I think we're the generation that tries to find the most convenient method to do things as possible.
Exactly.
And I think for us, Venmo has been a game changer.
Yeah. If I have like my credit card, you know, and I got like a balance, like a credit, like limit of $500, for example, I'm like, I can't pay for all your dinners right now.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what if like we split the check? You know, it's more convenient that way. Sorry, servers. Like, it might be not convenient for you, but at least you'll get a tip.
It's convenient for me.
You know, my friends and I, we usually like split evenly. But like, let's say I have a friend who's like vegan and vegan food is really expensive.
Yes.
You know, so now like that dish is like $20 and everybody got like a $10 dish. You know, if we split it evenly, it's just like.
Yeah, that's very mature of you. I feel like that's a very adult thing to do. Like, I feel like when I see adults go out to meals, like, they just split the check. Whereas, like, my friends are like, okay, so everyone pay this much for your meal and this much tax and this much tip. And it all works out in the end because no one's feeling like they're getting ripped off or anything. It's just so hard to calculate.
Yeah.
And I like how I'm finally getting to the age where, like, I'll go to Dunkin' and I'll be meeting my friend after and say, hey, you want coffee? I'll get her something. And she'll just be like, okay, I'll get you next time, you know?
Yeah, that's how me and my best friend are. I'll treat you this time, like, you got me for this, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like every time you're going to split the thing evenly.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that's too tiring. It's too much.
Yeah. Same thing. I visited my sister in Boston this weekend. And I was like, okay, we're going out to dinner tonight. I'll pay for it. Tomorrow night, you pay for it.
Yeah.
Because especially most of the food we're getting is very similar.
Yeah.
Or we're splitting stuff anyway. It just, it makes
life so
much easier. I don't know. I feel like all the technology just makes things so much more chaotic, but also so much easier.
It's much simpler than like 20 years ago, like 2000, like, you know, how much technology has evolved.
Oh, yes. Okay. I have a question going back to the whole, you know, paying at meals and everything like that. Do you tend to tip the same amount whether someone did a great job or a terrible job?
Every time I just do like 20%. But you know what's crazy? How like if you go with like a Dunkin' Donuts and then if they have like those tablets for like Apple Pay, because I use Apple Pay, that's my main form. I'm like, so simple. I don't have to take out my wallet, take out my card, whatever. But now these iPads, it's fast. And, you know, it's not like I'm paying for your service, you know, but then it asks for a tip. And then I feel bad. I'm like, it asked me for a tip. Like, do I still do 20% for like a quick cup of coffee? That's probably kind of bitter. It's not like I'm going to a nice coffee house with a nice trained barista. Like,
I feel like it's such a tough thing because I work in the food service industry and me and my coworkers always but we always appreciated the tips because in the food service industry, a lot of the money you're making is tips. Recently, I was working and I gave a man his receipt. He signed it. There's a spot to write the total and if you're tipping and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the bottom, you sign. Most people, if they don't tip, they just sign the bottom and hand it back to me. So the man signs his receipt, gives it back to me. I say, thanks, have a good day. He goes, oh, wait, I didn't see the tip line on there. Can I have the receipt back? I'm like, oh, thank you. Yeah, sure. So I give it to him and he writes on the tip line zero and then hands it back to me. And I expected that he was going to be tipping me. So I was like, thank you so much. And I grabbed it. And I looked and it said zero. That was so Unnecessary.
The audacity. I mean, just at that point, just like leave it blank. Does he really think that you're going to go out of your way to try and scam him out of his money?
That's what he said. He gives the receipt back to me. He goes, just want to make sure no one's writing like $1,000 on the tip line.
Nobody cares that much.
Hurt my soul. I turned to my friend and I was like, did you see what just happened? That was the highest insult I could have received. And I'm a pretty
chill.
I feel like I'm very good customer service representative. And if you don't want to tip me, that's fine. But to go to that length to not tip me, that hurt.
Yeah. Speaking about customer service, so I work in retail. In July, it's going to be 3 years. So I started there when I was like 17. I'm 19 now. So the amount of guests that come up to me to complain, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm not a manager, but sometimes I just pretend I'm the manager, you know? And I'm like,
yeah,
this is not going to go to, like, my direct leader. I'm like, this is so irrelevant. Everybody has, like, something to say. Like, a multi-million dollar retail company, your opinion, your one opinion does not matter to, like, the millions of others.
I think people also don't realize how hard retail workers have to work each day. Like, you're dealing with a lot of tough situations.
Yeah.
It never hurts to be nice because you may be complaining only once your whole day, but the people working at those stores hear hundreds of complaints a day.
For sure. Like, retail workers, like, they're battling so many things. Let's say after Q4, right? Q1, like January, February, whatever, our hours get cut. You know, like,
oh, okay.
I go from like working like overtime, like 50 hours a week, and I get like 20 hours.
Is that because of the holiday season?
The holiday season, yeah.
Gotcha.
And then it doesn't go back. I just started getting like my 40 hours back. I just want money to make money so I can go out so I don't have to stay at home all the time. I don't want your complaints on top of this.
It's a tough industry to work in. So I have a story.
Okay.
Do you go to Friendly's?
I've been to Friendly's like when I was younger, but like not really anymore. I'm more of like a Ralph's girl, Ralph's Italian Ices.
Oh, yeah. You know? I'm more of an Italian Ice girl, but I love going to Friendly's here and there with my friends, you know, for just some appetizers, a quick meal. They do half apps. I don't know if you know that, but it's just like Applebee's does.
Yeah. Okay.
From like 9 p.m. to midnight, their appetizers are half off.
They're open until midnight? I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't have a lot of locations left on Long Island, but the ones that they do, I love their waffle fries. I love their mini mott sticks.
Okay.
My favorite thing to get at Friendly's is, I don't even know what it's called, but it's basically a soda, but it's flavored like blue raspberry or cotton candy or something like that. And I'm pretty sure what it is just Sprite with a little bit of syrup in there.
Okay.
But ever since I was little, whenever I go to Friendly's, that's what I get. I'm not a huge ice cream person, so my friends will get ice cream and I'll just get one of those. Last summer, I believe it was, my friends and I go to Friendly's. The waitress comes up to us and there's another guy standing right behind her.
Okay.
And she's like, okay, just so you know, this is a new waiter. He's still in training.
Okay, so he's like
But he's going to help us out today. We're like, perfect. So then we all place our orders and I asked him if I could have the cotton candy drink. He's like, yeah, sure. So he goes, he gets all our drinks, whatever. He comes back. He gives it to me. It looks great. It's its bright blue color. He gives me the nice swirly straw. I'm so pumped. I take a sip of it. And it is quite possibly the worst drink I've ever had.
No way.
So what he did was he put the syrup just in water.
In water?
Instead of soda. So it was just a cup of like water with like cotton candy syrup in it. And I was like, oh, guys, you got to taste this. This is so bad. And we're all cracking up. But I also felt so bad because he was new.
Yeah, he didn't know.
And so they were like, just tell him. He'll make you a new one. But I felt so bad because
my
I was
friend's
like,
the same way.
He's in training. I don't want to tear him down on one of his first days. But I think the woman ended up coming back and I was like, excuse me, I'm sorry. This just, I think, might have water in it instead of soda. And she's like, oh, no, I'm so sorry. She's really apologetic.
Yeah.
But I just felt so bad for the kid. And we ended up still, you know, tipping the same amount because he's learning. But it's one of those instances where it's like, there's no need to be mean to him.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that's why, like, Gen Z, like our generation, for example, I feel like we're very understanding. I feel like if I was in that position, you know, I would feel like terrible about it, you know? And I'm just like,
yeah, it would be one of those moments, especially when you're a young person serving other young people. I'd go home and be mortified and I'd be thinking about it all night. Like, they probably thought I was terrible at my job and blah, blah, blah. I hate serving people who are our age. I get, I think, self-conscious. But I think everyone, like you said, our age is very understanding and very nice about it.
Yeah.
For the most part, at least in my experience, I have been.
I mean, I'm pretty understanding for the most part, except when I'm folding clothes at work and a person our age or even like a mom or a dad or whatever comes along, they're looking for the perfect shirt for tonight, and they pick up what I just folded, stare at it, and they just throw it back onto the table.
No.
So now I have to refold everything. That's maybe the extent to where I'm understanding, you know?
Yeah, no, I get that. I just like always feel bad when I'm buying clothing and it's all folded up on the table. So I kind of just try to like peek without unfolding everything, but I would hate to be the person that has to fold everything over and over and over.
Yeah, the amount of times I go to the mall and somebody just folded the table, so I'll open the shirt and then I'll just act like I'm working, so I'll refold it for them.
Sometimes though I refold the clothes and they're like, it's okay, I'll do it.
I'm yeah.
Like, oh, sorry.
They're like insulting your fold.
Yeah, I feel like people who work in retail and food service just have the toughest job sometimes. Speaking of food service, retail, have you been to Stu Leonard's?
Yes, my mom loves that store.
I had never been to a Stu Leonard's until last year when there's one by my school. One of my friends said to me, you've never been to Stu Leonard's? I was like, no, there's not one near my house. So we went. It is like a fever dream in that place. What is going on? There were like stuffed animals being flung around.
Yeah, you have like Spider-Man on I don't even know what
it's called. It's like like a rope kind of thing.
Yeah, he's like on a pole. Like I feel like he's like Spider-Man doing gymnastics.
Yeah, right? I feel like I'm in the circus.
Like, yes, it's insane. It's like IKEA, but for supermarkets. You know, there's one way, there's a path. You have like all these like
moms.
Like in like shopping carts like going this way.
It's aggressive and it's scary. And I went there with two of my roommates last year, and I was just so thrown off the whole time. There were like big milk jugs,
yes,
singing songs.
Yes,
I was like terrified. And then it wasn't even organized. Like there was a shopping cart just full of bubbly seltzers, just there to grab and shop.
Maybe that's just the one you've been to, because like the one right around the corner, like from you, it's pretty nice. Like it's pretty organized. I think
it's kind of. Maybe not disorganized, but it's like shopping. I don't even know how to describe it. Like the fact that you could just buy one can of something instead of like a 12-pack was throwing me off, I think. It's like the opposite of a BJ's or a Costco.
BJ's is like it's wholesale. You know, Costco is like wholesale, you know, like you're buying for like this huge pack.
Yeah.
You know, cuz like you got a big family or something, you know.
Yeah. And I feel like maybe buying things individually is making it more expensive there. I went to Stu Leonard's for the second time in my life yesterday.
Okay, how was that?
I was like, I need to go there and just get the feel for it because I heard there's some good pre-made lunches there.
Yes.
So I was like, I want to check,
the end.
Scope it out.
Yeah.
So I went in and I was like, I'm not going to buy anything. I'm saving my money, but there's so many enticing options in there because you have to go down every single aisle.
I know.
So I ended up leaving with a box of cauliflower gnocchi, which I will be eating for lunch today. A pint of spinach artichoke and bacon dip.
Okay.
Something to know about me is I'm a sucker for dips. Anything you can dip a chip into, I am consuming. So that whole dip area was killer for me. I need to go back and try the buffalo chicken dip also. And then I found, you know, the everything but the bagel seasoning?
Yes.
It was similar to that. But it was a guacamole seasoning.
Wait.
So all you do is mix it with an avocado and it makes guacamole. I couldn't turn that down.
Yeah.
So I ended up leaving. Those three items cost me $20.
Oh my God. No, but that like that guacamole seasoning, like I got to buy that now. Because instead of like buying the avocado, well, you got to buy the avocado. But like along with the avocado, you got to buy like the garlic salt, the lime.
Yep. The all tomato, the cilantro, the onions. Yeah, they recommended. Like
mix it in.
Yeah, they recommended maybe adding a little lime juice on top if you want, but you don't have to. It was...
Did you try it?
I didn't because I got home and we didn't have any avocados.
We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, I will let you know. I'm going to have to try it before I come back in next week. I'm going to make sure my parents buy avocados when they go to the supermarket. I'm not going back to Stu Leonard's to buy avocados because then I'll just buy more stuff. I'm still thinking they have like freshly squeezed juices.
Yes.
Cannoli dip and these really good looking cookies.
That's a great marketing ploy though, you know? Like you can't escape. You gotta go down the whole path and look at every single food, you know?
Yes.
And like at that point you're just adding everything to your cart.
Yeah. Did you learn about this in your marketing class? I think that should be a marketing class in itself. Stu Leonard's.
IKEA.
Yeah.
Like
because you know what it is about those places? is, like, Stu Leonard's, I remember being so thrown off, and I was just taking videos the whole time I was in there because it was so weird to me.
Mm-hmm. It was, like, your
but
first
But it
experience.
Made me want to go back.
Yeah.
I was like, I definitely didn't see everything there is to see there.
Exactly.
I need to try new foods because they're making you look at every single option.
Mm-hmm. And then they have ice cream, like, soft-serve ice cream there.
I saw that.
Yeah, and I was like, I've never seen, like, a grocery store with, like, soft-serve ice cream, you know? Like, now I gotta get it. How does it taste?
Yeah. Even there was a big poster of Bobby Flay holding Stu Leonard's donuts.
Yes.
It's like, well, if Bobby Flay likes it here, then I've gotta like it here. There was pictures of celebrities, and there was a coffee bar.
Yes,
and
yes.
A fresh donut stand, and even a fresh cheeses section.
Yeah.
Like, I need to try it all.
They really have it all. Have you ever been to Uncle Giuseppe's?
I have. Not in a long time, though.
Like, I think on Saturdays or something. Maybe I'm mixing them up, but I think the one, like, right 15 minutes away from here, mm-hmm. they have a singer come in, like, on Saturdays. Maybe not every Saturday, but at least they used to. And, like, this person would be, like, singing, like, down the aisles.
Down the aisles.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you find it?
Like, I'm looking it up online, and it does seem as if live music while you shop.
Yes.
Every weekend at Uncle Giuseppe's.
Yes.
No way.
Like, I want to know who thought of that.
I mean, I would go there just to see it.
Yes. It's like free concert. Obviously, you're going to buy food, you know, so like concert while you do your grocery shopping.
Yeah. Something you know? That reminds me of, actually, is at my school, they love hosting parties in our dining hall for every holiday. The huge one they do is the Christmas feast. They put up Christmas trees and they blast Christmas music, and all the dining hall workers wear Santa hats.
Dude, that's so
and
cute.
Every year
that.
For the Christmas dinner, they hire a singing quartet of Christmas carolers.
That's insane.
That while you're eating, they just walk around the cafeteria and they'll stop at your table and they'll sing you a little Christmas song. They've got jingle bells that they ring.
Oh my God.
And it's like the same thing. You're just there for a meal.
Yeah.
And you don't expect it, but then they come and they're singing Jingle Bell Rock at your table. It's so great. And it makes me want to just stay there forever.
When I was in high school, they used to have the kids in like the AP classes or whatever for extra credit, like around like holiday season or whatever, go around class to class singing Christmas carols. Did you ever have that?
Not the AP students, no.
Okay. Well, they had like these kids and they would have to make a holiday themed, a Christmas themed rap or like song with like math.
You know? I love that.
So now you're like sitting in math class, like the door opens. It's like a group of like some AP students and they're singing. And it's like, wow, I wish there was more of that in life.
Love that. Did you ever have to make a music video or anything for a school project?
No, I had to make a dance for gym class. That's the extent I had to do. No music video, though.
I've always loved making like little movies and music videos. So whenever I had the opportunity to do that for a project, I would. When I was in seventh grade, instead of Counting Stars, it was Shay's Rebellion.
Okay.
I did a few like that. And actually, my first year of college, we had to take an English class about rhetoric.
Okay.
So for our second project, it had to be a creative project and we could do whatever we wanted. So my roommate and I decided to make a song about littering. And you know the song All Time Low by Don Bellion?
Yes.
We changed the words to Littering Has Got to Go. And so we wrote the song, we recorded ourselves singing it, we made a music video, and we recruited half of the people from our class to dance in it.
Oh my God, I love that.
It took us hours, but we had so much fun. My teacher didn't even end up watching it.
No way.
She was like, I'm not going to have time to look these over. That's her loss. We found...
It's like a masterpiece.
Yeah, we found the guy who was clearly her favorite student, and we had him dance in it. We had all of our neighbors in our hallway dance. There was one point where my friend dressed up in his boxer costume that he had for Halloween. Mm-hmm. One of my friends pretended to litter in the hallway, and the boxer guy came up and knocked him out. It was a cinematic masterpiece. I'm not kidding. It was phenomenal.
You didn't, like, you tried to convince her to watch it, like, didn't work?
No, we just asked her, hey, when are you going to grade project two? She was like, oh, well, project three is due in a couple days, so I don't know if I'm going to have time to get to it.
What?
And we thought maybe she would. We said to her,
you're missing out.
You might like our project. She was like, okay. And then we got our final grades at the end of the semester, and project two was not listed on that grade chart.
You didn't even get a grade? Like, that's definitely an A+, like, right there.
I agree. And I'll tell you, she also graded based on effort, which was a score in a college-level class.
Yeah.
But she was like, I just want to see improvement throughout the semester. I want to see that you're putting in hard work. I mean, that's the epitome of hard work right there.
Yeah.
Did we have to change all the lyrics? Did we have to record it? Did we have to make a music video with multiple scenes in different locations across campus? No, but we did, because we cared.
Exactly.
My entire friend group was in the class, so naturally they all wanted to see it. And so we had a viewing party in our lounge. I promptly stepped out of the room so I didn't have to watch it with them, but it was a hit.
You know, it's hard. It's hard like when I'm like recording things with my voice, you know, and then I play it back and then I have to listen to my voice. I hate hearing my voice.
Like this.
Yes. Speaking about like music videos, like making videos. So I had a Chinese class in high school, right?
Wow.
And so the class, like the people, the amount of people who wanted to take the class was so small. So it was only one class. And I've had that same class from, like, 7th grade up until my senior year.
Wow.
Same class, you know? So, like, I've known these people, like,
yeah,
you know, we went through puberty together.
Yeah.
You know? So, our teacher, same teacher all those years.
No.
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
She would have us, like, make skits, like, edit videos and stuff.
Oh.
So, one time, she had us do, like, karaoke, but in Chinese. 20 or so like kids who are not the best at learning this language, especially with pronunciation, you know, you have to like take an American song, like an English song, right? And then translate it to Chinese and then sing it in front of the class.
Oh my goodness.
I told her my throat hurt that day. I was like, I'm not singing in front of these like 20 kids. And I was the only girl in the class.
Oh,
so I was
no.
like, yeah, I'm not doing this today.
Mm-mm.
You know, I'd rather like skip class. You know, this is not for me. But, I saw somebody did the Power Rangers theme song, but in Chinese, you know, so
okay.
that was, like, interesting.
Yeah.
I have a few videos, you know.
Oh, naturally.
But not me, you know. They're not getting me today.
Mm-hmm. When I was in high school, I took Spanish, and two things about that. First, my freshman year, me and my best friend Haley convinced the teacher to let us perform the Macarena for extra credit.
Okay.
But not the dance. Like, we learned all of the words to the song in Spanish.
Okay.
Looking back, it wasn't a very appropriate theme of a song
yeah.
to sing, but we did it. I don't know if he even ended up giving us extra credit, but we performed it in front of the class. Flash forward to junior year, one of the projects we had to do was about literary devices because it
okay.
was about Spanish language, like reading and writing.
Mm-hmm.
And so my teacher required each of us to pick a song. And you could have the lyrics up in English, but then you had to explain in Spanish what the literary devices were in the song.
Okay. It feels like it's really like English class, but like Spanish.
Yeah, but in Spanish.
Yeah.
So you could say lines A and C rhymed, or this was alliteration, or this was a metaphor. You had to explain it. One of the guys in the class did Shakira's Hips Don't Lie.
Wait.
And he promptly got up in front of the class. And his four best friends who were also in the class get up. They're all dancing. They're doing Shakira's dance moves. Whenever I hear that song, I think about them doing the Shakira belly dance kind of moves. I don't even know what the literary devices were that he explained, but the performance was unforgettable, really.
That's like what I want to do, you know? Like, imagine if that was like your job, make videos with songs, like all day.
Yeah.
It sounds like the life.
I love that. There were a few YouTube accounts that I feel like were a staple of my high school career. One of them, you didn't take Spanish, right?
No, I did not take Spanish, but I know some Spanish.
There were a few YouTube videos that people would make that really were staples of all Spanish classrooms. One of them was Billy La Bufanda.
Okay, I haven't seen
it. It was basically a scarf. A bufanda is a scarf.
Okay.
It's a music video, and he goes around to all these places, so it's like, Billy La Bufanda, voy a la farmacia. And he goes to the pharmacy to buy stuff. And it's a whole song. So that was a staple. I watched it in multiple Spanish classes. Another one, which was my favorite, was called Puedo Ir al Baño.
I know that song.
Yes, where the kid's asking the teacher.
Can go to the bathroom? Yes.
And then by the end of the song, they're like lifting him up in the air.
Like the halo, you know?
Yes.
Yes.
And oh, like, my goodness.
But the teacher lets his friend Carlos go instead of him.
Yes.
Like,
that
why?
That is such a good song. And I still meet people who know all the words. And
yes.
I know all the words.
I know like most of the words. Like, obviously, like, I'm not a Spanish like connoisseur, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But like, I know enough to get the party going.
The acting is phenomenal. The song is phenomenal. And it's catchy.
Yes.
It really is.
I wonder whoever made that, like, I wonder where they are today.
I wonder if they've posted since then.
Exactly.
On YouTube. I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope they became a Spanish teacher.
Yes. Yes.
All of them. All
maybe,
of those kids.
Yeah,
especially
like,
the lead.
Like a college professor of Spanish.
Yes.
You know? I feel like that class would be so fun. I would take it.
Oh, I easily would.
Yes.
The other ones we watched a lot in high school were the U.S. history and world history songs. Mm-hmm. There was one that I actually was showing my sister and my brother-in-law recently, and it's the Mansa Musa song. We were learning about world history, and one of the old world leaders was Mansa Musa. And it's like these two history teachers from some school just made a song about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was normal how many music videos we watched in my school. Did you watch any like this?
Not like music videos, but like there was a guy who made this video, A Brief History of the World.
Yes.
I watched that. It wasn't like a music video, but it was like a viral video.
He also made History of Japan?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I loved History of Japan. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah, that guy used to make videos like on Vine. So I remember on Vine. Yeah, he used to make short clips.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched that. And then he made these YouTube videos. And I was like, wow.
It makes sense that he was a Vine star. Because the style of his YouTube videos are very meme-ish.
Yes.
Like, I loved in History of Japan when he's like, knock, knock. It's the United States. And he's like, let us in. No. Please? Okay. And it's like, that is not how it happened. But that's all you need to know.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah. He's got, the outline.
I feel like if you just need to know the basics, that's where you go.
Yeah.
And if I'm being honest, in my history classes in high school, all I tried to know was the basics because I was not a history person.
Not a history buff either.
Mm-mm.
When the time came around with finals, the regents.
Oh,
and, you spend all year. This happened this year, I think. They studied, all year about, their U.S. history or whatever, or I forget which class it was, but their final comes along, right? And their essay question, it was, tell us about the water during this time. Something along those lines. I'm just like, wow, you studied about all these wars, to write an essay about water.
One of the biggest moments in high school where I really felt like students came together as a community were after the regents and the state tests and the AP tests. Because they were always in the morning, and then you'd have the second half of the school day where all the teachers kind of knew you just took a hard test, so they kind of just let you chill. And you'd all just sit together and talk about how hard it was or how terrible it was. And you'd go on Twitter, and everyone would be posting memes about them. And I feel like that really just brought everyone together.
You know, like when you go on Twitter, you search up the hashtag or whatever, and you see the memes about the questions, let's say for the English regents, the amount of crazy questions or the amount of crazy stories that you get. This girl loses her dog, for example, and then it's the memes about that.
Yeah.
It's it brings you really together. Are there any memes now?
I'm trying to think. There was one question. I'm pretty sure it was an English test.
Mm-hmm.
It was either the regents or the AP or something like that, where there was a passage basically about how if you have a party and the chairs move, that means it was a good party. So, it means it was more social and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Whereas if you had a party and none of the chairs moved, it means,
everybody was just, sitting there.
Yeah, it wasn't a good party. That was a very dumbed-down version of what I read. I don't even remember what I read too well. I don't even remember what test it was.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it was my junior year.
Yeah, I don't remember high school, so.
But I remember that was the biggest meme. For the rest of my high school experience, because I would always have all my friends over. My house was the house where all my friends would hang out.
The hangout spot, yeah.
They'd be like, oh, Rebecca, the chairs moved. This was a great day. And even now, one of my friends texted me on my birthday something about, I hope you have a great birthday party and all the chairs move. And it's just those kind of things where
it sticks with you.
It does. It really does.
Because it's your group, your age, whatever, your class that year. It's a universal experience,
It is.
And it sticks with you guys.
It is.
And so your school, my school, and all these schools, they all experience that together. Long Islanders, New Yorkers.
Yeah.
They all have that experience.
It's such a weird experience. Mm-hmm. I think even to explain to people, because I go to school out of state.
Yeah, if you go to Connecticut and you're oh yeah, I remember the regents, or what is the regents?
They have no idea. And I feel it was such a staple of our high school experience.
Yes.
I was an AP kid and I took a lot of AP tests, and I had my friends who took them with me, but the regents, everybody took.
Yeah.
That was really universal.
And you know what else should be universal? This podcast.
So true. And with that, I think it's time to wrap up. I think this was a great first week.
Yeah.
I'm feeling pretty good, and I can't wait to come back next week. I'm definitely going to try that guacamole before I come back, so I can
let you know how it is. Yes.
And maybe we'll get to talking about some other good food topics. We'll see what we think of.
Yes.
Well, thank you all for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.